Amen. We're turning to Psalm 23, and what lovely words those are out of our hymn book, talking about following the shepherd and the safety that there is in following him, and how applicable they are for our message today as we come to the third verse. But we'll read down from verse 1 down to verse number 3 of this passage. And Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come once again to the 23rd Psalm. We thank thee and we praise thee for every single person who can read this Psalm and identify with the opening phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." We know that if that's the case, then we can claim every promise in the rest of the lines. Our prayer is this morning that all will be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Lord, if there's one not saved, that you'll bring them to Christ. Lord, if there's one out of Christ without a Saviour, that even this will be the day of their salvation. My prayer is, O God, you'll bless thy people today. And maybe there's some in this gathering and they need to have their soul restored. Oh Lord, grant it today. Grant that all thy people will be found following thee in the paths of righteousness, bringing glory to thy name. Lord, to this end, give help to the preacher. Empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy Spirit, and give me help to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy name. For I ask these things for Christ's sake and his name alone. Amen and amen. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That first little clause in that verse, "He restoreth my soul." What does the word "restoreth" mean, that we might fully understand what is being said here? Well, the word "restore" means to turn back, to turn away from something. It can also mean to bring me to repentance. It can also mean to refresh or to comfort. Now, there's not one of us, but this week at some point, have had to be turned away from something. Whether it was a temptation, whether it was our own path we were taking. There's not one of us, but this week we needed our souls refreshed. And this week, at times, we needed comfort for our souls. Perhaps there has been times this week we've needed to repent of the sins that we have committed. Now, it's important to remember that these verses can't just be taken out of context and preached on. We have to preach with them in context. And we learned last time we were looking at Psalm 23 that lying down in green pastures and being led beside the still waters are different ways of describing the blessings of the Word of God. The pastures that God provides. The water of the Word that God provides. And therefore, the psalmist is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have want for nothing. Nothing shall I lack. He gives me his word." And that is one of the first things that is mentioned here. And through his word, our needs are met. Because through his word, we find Christ. And through his word, we find the promises. And through his word, we find the warnings. And all of these things are found in the word of God. And through the teaching of the word of God, where our souls are restored. In many times of need and adversity, there's a temptation to forget the word, to close the Bible. I'm too busy being worried, I haven't time to read. I'm too busy doing something silly, I don't have time to read the Bible. And whenever we close the book, it often leads to times of despair because we forget. How often in Scripture we're told to remember. How often we're told to consider these things. And yet, we often forget. We close the book. We think it's not necessary. Friend, we need the word of God ever before us. Think of what the psalmist said. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." You see the direct link between reading the word, knowing the word, and living a life of holiness. And therefore, God's word ought to be so important to us. It ought to be so precious to us. How important it is. And Christ does, through his word, restore our souls. Restores us. Now, what do our souls need to be restored from? Well, there are many different things that we need to be restored from. First of all, our souls often need to be restored from error. Error. There are times in life when we get the wrong end of the stick in mundane things that have no consequence. But it's a dangerous thing when we get a wrong interpretation of Scripture or wrong teaching that people have taken verses of Scripture out of context and tried to make these new doctrines, these new teachings. Those are very dangerous to us because they will lead us in error. And we're not to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. But as we keep in the Word of God, we will know what is true. And that truth will help us to stay in the right way, the way in which we ought to go. For example, there are Christians today, and they have this idea in their head that they can lose their salvation. There are churches today that preach, if you're a Christian, you do something very bad, you'll lose your salvation. Well, how bad does it have to be? Well, nobody can actually tell you. You know why? Because it's not in the Word of God. And with people today living in fear, wondering all the time, am I truly saved? Am I truly on my way to heaven? Is it well with me? And then certain things happen and they continually pray that the Lord will save them. Whenever they're already saved. And they're not enjoying the peace of God's salvation. And the confidence of God's promises. And the joy of sins forgiven. Because they're that worried, thinking, are my sins actually forgiven? You know, God's Word has different passages that we could turn to. For example, turn with me to John's Gospel in the chapter number 10. And here are two verses that will completely deal with this issue. And put it to bed once and for all. John chapter 10, verse number 27. John chapter 10 and verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, how do we hear the voice of God? Through his word. He speaks through his word. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Amen. And God has given us this truth, dear friend, that we might not go down some erroneous line and some line of error where we're worried and we're fearful and we're despondent because we're not sure if we're truly saved or not. But the Bible says that God gives to us eternal life and we shall never perish. These are words from the lips of the Savior. How dare we argue against them? But praise God with the privilege of rejoicing in them. We have also the wonderful verse, we'll not turn to it, but in Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it. Praise God. That work will be completed. Now, we can't wander. Of course we can. We can backslide. But here is one example of what our soul needs to be restored from. Restored from error. Secondly, our soul needs to be restored from wandering. Wandering. And that simply is getting out of the way, being distracted by other things, being in a place where we ought not to be because we've lost focus and we've lost sight. We're not as close to the Lord as we once were when we wander in our walk or in our fellowship. But whenever we come to the Word of God, our soul is stirred again and we're encouraged and we're brought back to the place where we ought to be. And that's why the Word needs to be open before us, because those things that maybe take our focus and those things that we're distracted by, we come to the Word of God and we realize that they're not as important as we think they are. And in fact, the things that we are holding and valuing in life that are very important are not important at all in the light of Scripture. And sometimes believers get caught up with something, whatever it is, and it just takes their focus off the Lord. Takes their focus, their worship away from God. We need to be restored from that. We also need to be restored from being worn down with care, weariness, and exhaustion. And everybody knows what this is. We all have busy lives. There are times whenever there are things in our lives that bring us cares and burdens. And that is hard to bear. Those are hard to bear. The busyness of life. And we maybe wake up in the morning and you think of what you have to do, and it hardly would encourage you to get out of bed. You've got much to do, and you think, how am I ever going to get through this? It just seems to be a burden, doesn't it? And then we turn on the news, maybe in the morning, then at lunchtime, then the evening, then before we go to bed. And we're weary, aren't we? Hearing the bad news. Hearing the news that is discouraging. It used to be, years ago I remember, in the news, at 10, they used to have a little thing at the very end for about 2 minutes, and finally, and it was a good news story. I don't think they do that anymore. Haven't time for any good news because they're that busy reporting the worst of the worst. And friend, it is wearisome. We went to bed this week hearing news from our community, from London, from all over the United Kingdom, things that were tragedies. And we're weary hearing such things. There's circumstances we have to go through. Things that we can't change. There are people who are now carers for loved ones. And with the responsibilities that brings. There are people today worrying over loved ones in hospital and nursing homes. And because of circumstances, they can't go and visit them. Friend, there are many people today with cares. And they're weary and exhausted. We also need to be restored from hurt, don't we? Hurt. Words have wounded our souls, perhaps even this week. You've been hurt. And it's been said very flippantly, but the wound has gone very deeply into your soul. Maybe actions and behaviours from someone towards you show that they don't like you. And friend, that's hard. That's hurtful. And it's often very sad when it comes secondhand. And when people take your name and people take your reputation and they speak to other people about you and they say things about you that either aren't true or certainly haven't got the facts right. And then you hear about it. And that's hard. Maybe you're hurt this morning. Maybe even by someone in the house of God. We also need our souls to be restored from coldness, pride, and sin. Imagine you being the professing Christian in your workplace, your school, your home, and the people looking at your life and seeing coldness, pride, and sin. What a dishonor to the Lord. What grief is brought to the Spirit of God. What a waste of opportunity. Your behaviour in your backslidden state saying, God can't satisfy me. God can't bring me joy. You wouldn't maybe say it out loud, but that's the life you're living. And people may be looking for answers in the world today, looking for hope. And the Lord has placed you there to be a witness, maybe to be a soul winner. But your heart's too cold to be used of God right now. Your heart's too full of pride, trying to put everything else in the world right, that you don't care about the souls of those you live among. A friend, there are many things that our soul needs to be restored from. And praise God, He can restore our souls. Praise God this morning, from error we can be brought into truth. From wandering we can be brought into obedience. From being worn down with care, weariness and exhaustion, we can say burdens are lifted at Calvary and cast our burden upon the Lord and know Him sustaining us and know the joy that He brings. Friend, we can even be delivered from hurt if we give it to Him. If we give it to Him, don't harbour bitterness in your heart against others. Pray for the one that hurt you. Pray for the one that has caused you trouble. And pray God will bless them. Pray God will deal with them. Pray God will bring them to a place where they will be used to glorify Him. You can be restored from coldness, pride and sin, from backsliding today. Praise God. God is still able to do these things. And what will a heart look like that has been restored? What will a soul look like that the Lord has restored and brought to the place of blessing and fellowship and joy? We'll turn over to Psalm 51 and I'll show you exactly what that person looks like. Because in Psalm 51, we know this psalm so well. It's a psalm of repentance, and it's a turning away from sin. And we know that there has been problems there. We know that there has been sin in the camp. David has sinned grievously for over a year. He didn't even know that he had sinned. I shouldn't say he didn't know. He probably didn't know. He certainly hadn't acknowledged it. And then the prophet comes and says, "Thou art the man." And then we read, "Wash me throughly from mine iniquity," verse 2. "Cleanse me from my sin." What do we find David calls for in his time of restoration? Well, the first thing he calls for is joy. Look at verse number 8. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." God has dealt with him. God has put him into a place of affliction that he might seek forgiveness, that he might have joy and gladness. He had gone a year without joy and gladness. Are you joyful this morning? Are you glad this morning? Can you say, "It's well with my soul? I love my God"? Or friend, are you miserable, complaining, and you've 50 things to complain about, even walking down the steps of the house of God? Oh Lord, make me hear joy and gladness. I'd rather hear joy and gladness and know the joy and gladness of the Lord than the complaints and the weariness of coldness, pride and sin in my heart. What does he say in verse number 12? "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." Friend, I'll tell you this morning, there is joy in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is joy to be had in walking with the Lord. And if you don't have it, you need to be restored this morning to be in the place where there's joy in your heart. Praise God for the joy that he gives. Secondly, we see a person not with joy, but also with peace, because it says in verse number 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before thee. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." And here he is saying, I do not have peace at this time, and I want to be forgiven so that I'd be able to stand before thee, O Lord, and have peace. Nothing between me and the Lord. And friend, if it's error, confess it. If it's weariness, cast it upon the Lord. If it's wandering, talk to the Lord about it. If it's hurt, pour out your heart. If it's backsliding, get back to the place where you started. And not only is there joy now in David's life, not only is there peace in David's life, but look at verse 10, because there's now zeal. And that's missing today. Often, whenever we backslide, we lose our zeal. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." How do you know someone is walking with the Lord? There's joy. There's peace. There's zeal. They're looking for souls to be saved. Friend, are you concerned about the souls of your loved ones, your friends, your family? He can restore your soul. Don't waste these years. Don't waste this day continuing in a place where you cannot be used of God, continuing in a place where you're a hindrance to others, continuing in a place where you're missing out on the great blessing of obedience. But come, come today afresh to the Lord. Confess that sin and know the joy, the peace and the zeal that only God can give. But turning back to Psalm 23, we have the second part of this verse, verse number 3. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, it's interesting to note that this is the second time in the scriptures, in this particular passage, where it says, "He leadeth me." Now, let's get something straight here this morning. God leads. He is the leader. He is the leader. A lot of us want to be leaders. A lot of people want to be dictating. But friend, your duty is to follow God. To be obedient to his word. To follow him. He is the guide. He knows best. He is gracious in all his ways. Never get to the stage that you think you know better than God. I've seen people look me in the face and say, "I know the Bible says this, but I think this. Or I'll do this. Or I don't think that's right. Or the Bible says to do this, well, I'm not bothering, that's just not for me." Friend, that's a very dangerous position to be in. You need to have your soul restored. Because you're not following the Lord if you're going against his word. There are three simple things in this verse or this clause that I want to leave with you. First of all, God's leading. What does it mean to be led? Well, the word leadeth means, first of all, to guide. Also to govern. And it also means to straighten. So we can put those three things together and see the picture of what the Lord does. He guides us. He governs us. And he brings us to the straight path. He will lead us in the right way, the straight or the right way. Now, that word guide is also used in another passage of God's word. Now, you don't have to turn up to this, but I'm just going to read from Psalm 78, verse 72. And it says these words. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So God guides us by the integrity of his heart and by the skillfulness of his hands. In other words, when you're following the Lord, you're in the safest hands. You're in the blessed place and the best place. And praise God for that. We don't have to doubt that God will do anything wrong because he will never fail. He will always work through the integrity of his heart. He cannot sin. He is immutable. It's impossible for him to do anything that's wrong. And therefore, we can commit ourselves to him. He will guide us with the skillfulness of his hands. But do turn with me to Psalm 67, because in Psalm 67, the word there is translated as the word govern. And in Psalm 67, verse number 4. Psalm 67, verse number 4, we read these words. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Now, that word govern is the same as lead. God will lead the nations upon earth. And the Bible tells us that out of every nation there will be those who are saved. And I love this passage because while there are those around us who are living in sin, and while we're living in darkness today, and while there's great wickedness around us, God is still leading his people. We are still to rejoice in the Lord. Look what the first verse says. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Lord, show thyself, show the way by the light of thy countenance as we are walking in this dark world. We're not to sit back with our arms folded, head down, pretend nothing's going on and just wait until we get to heaven. Friend, we are to shine for the Lord. We're to follow the Lord. We're to praise the Lord. We are to sing for joy because our God ruleth and reigneth and is victorious. We're on the winning side. And therefore, this idea is that God is leading. But if you come back to Psalm 23, notice what it says. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And I think this is very significant. It doesn't say the path of righteousness, but the paths of righteousness. Now, wherever God leads you is a path of righteousness. But the way that God's going to lead you, and the way that God's going to lead you, and the way that God's going to lead me is going to be different. We'll have a journey to make with the Lord. He has a path plan for our feet. Yes, there is a sense we're all on the narrow road that's leading to heaven, and we understand that, and that's scriptural and true. But there is also the sense in scripture that God has prepared the way for me. And God has prepared the way for you. And therefore, your duty is to seek the Lord for his will in your life. Don't allow anybody else to tell you what God's will is for you, for they're not God. God is able to do that, and he is able to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And if God is leading someone and blessing them in the way he's leading them, it's not for us to question. God will lead us, and our duty is to follow him in the way that he is leading us. Now, turn back just two pages to Psalm 17. And in Psalm 17, verse 5, it tells us about these paths. Psalm 17, verse 5, it says, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. And another, I suppose, another idea of the word paths is that the Lord may lead you in one path for a time, and then in another path for a time, and then in another path for a time. And those paths could be different paths of service. Maybe paths of places of work. Maybe paths and where you have a time of raising your family, and then you have a time maybe of doing something else in a time. So there are different paths. But the psalmist prays here that the Lord will hold up. And the word hold up means to sustain. So hold up my goings. The goings means steps. So sustain my steps in my path. Have you prayed today that God would sustain your steps? God would give you help to walk for him. That my footsteps slip not. And the word slip means to waver, to slide, or to go off course. Have you prayed today, Lord, keep me on course. Keep me in the paths of righteousness that you plan for me. Don't allow me to wander in the bypath meadow, but Lord, help me to be faithful and go and be found in the paths you've called me to be in. We're not turning to it, but just to reference for you, Proverbs 3 and verse 17, at the end of the verse, it says of wisdom, all her paths are peace. And friend, if you're following in the paths of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way that he has prepared for you, there will be peace. Now, it doesn't say all her paths are ease, but it says all her paths are peace. Because we read in scripture, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me, because he trusteth in me. And therefore, when we're walking in the paths of righteousness, we are in fellowship with God. We are walking close with the Lord. We are in his word. We are being encouraged by him. And even though those paths may lead through dark places, difficult days, and even through the storms and the trials, we do not walk alone because the Lord is with us. That's our peace. We will not perish, and he cannot fail, and he has promised to bring us safely through all that we meet in life's journey. Nothing will take him by surprise, but that path is a path of peace. Peace with God and the peace of God are known and enjoyed and bring confidence to those who are walking in the paths of righteousness. Now, the word righteousness means that which is right or just. And also in scripture, it speaks of prosperity. Prosperity. And that's how it's used in the Hebrew. Figuratively, it speaks of prosperity. And friend, where there is righteousness, there is prosperity. Because if you are robed in the robe of Christ's righteousness, there's much spiritual prosperity for you. There's adoption, justification. There's blessing, there's promises. All to be had because of his righteousness. And whenever you walk in the paths of righteousness, or let's translate it another way, in the paths of truth and the paths of holiness, then there's also prosperity for you, because God blesses those who follow in righteousness, those who walk in righteousness. And you know within your heart, dear believer, that when you follow God and your obedience to God and your walk is close to the Lord, there's great blessing, isn't there? There's great joy. There's great a prosperity in your life. Great spiritual prosperity. But it's whenever you wander, whenever you stray, whenever you close the book, that there's worry, there's fear, there's anxiety. But praise God, there are paths of righteousness that we can be found in. And I want to say this morning, and if there's anything I want the believer to take away, it's this. If you are following the Lord, you will not be found walking contrary to his word. If you are following the Lord, then you will not be found contrary to his word. And therefore, if someone is walking contrary to the word of God, the very simple explanation is this: they're not following the Lord. Oh, they might have other things in their life that are right, but if they're walking in disobedience to the word of God, they're not following the Lord. Because he does not lead in error. He leads in paths of righteousness. It grieves my heart whenever I see people doing things and justifying things with this: the Lord told me to do it. Or this is what the Lord would want me to do. And you feel like taking a Bible and hammer them on the head and say, no, it is not. Look in that book. Friend, God does not lead you into sin. Don't take his name in vain and sin further by saying that God allows it or God led you this way. Nonsense. The only way the scripture tells us that God leads his people is in paths of righteousness. And dear Christian, if you're living in sin today and you're walking in sin today, you're not following the Lord. Yes, you're saved because you cannot lose your salvation, but you're walking in disobedience. And the Lord will chasten you. And there is a cost for this. Your leading must come from Scripture. Man will seek to justify anything. We know that in today's society. They'll take the most vile sins and they'll try to dress it up and justify it. But God's revealed word is accompanied by his blessing when it is obeyed. And friend, there's no greater joy and blessing than going through with God. We thought of God's leading. We thought of God's paths and finally God's glory, because it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That simply means for his honour. For his honour or his glory. So, whenever we walk in obedience to the Lord, there are several things that happen. Four things I believe that happen. Number one, we are blessed personally. Number two, those around us are blessed practically. What do I mean by that? Well, whenever Joseph was in the prison in Egypt, the people prospered because a godly man was there and God's blessing was upon him. Whenever a godly mother or father is in the home, the family of the children, even though they might not be saved, they are blessed practically because they have the blessing of growing up in a Christian home and being shielded from much of the sins of the world. And in your workplace, if you're living for the Lord, those around you will be blessed because you'll be a good worker. You'll be a faithful worker. You'll be an honest worker. You'll not be stabbing people in the back. You'll not be gossiping. All of those things will not be found. So the people will be blessed around you. So we are blessed personally. Those around us are blessed practically. The church is blessed with spiritual prosperity because the Bible says, there the Lord commandeth the blessing. But fourthly, and most importantly, God is honoured. God is honoured. That's the great end of obedience. God is honoured. He's glorified because his child is living, reflecting his glory in their lives. And people see Christ in us. And we are a light in this dark world. We're salt in this world. We are testimonies, signposts pointing to heaven. We are evidences that God is real and he sees and he satisfies. That's the great joy that brings glory and honour to the Lord. Now, my final thought this morning on this verse is found by asking the question, are you humble enough to follow? Turn with me to Psalm 25, just two over. Psalm 25, verse 9, because it says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The word meek simply could be translated humble. Humble. Are you humble enough, first of all, to ask for guidance this morning? Have you prayed today that the Lord would lead you? Secondly, are you humble enough to seek for guidance? Have you opened the book to read if the Lord, what way the Lord would lead you? And finally, are you humble enough to follow his guidance? And I challenge every believer here this morning. Are you humble enough to ask for guidance in prayer? Are you humble enough to seek for guidance in his word? And are you humble enough to follow his guidance in obedience? Now, if your answer is yes to each of those questions, there's a blessing ahead for you. Because there's joy in serving Jesus. But friend, if your answer is no, there's a major problem. There's a major problem. And your soul needs to be restored and you need to call out unto the Lord, Lord, bring me back to where I ought to be. Bring me back to where I ought to be. And my question as we leave, are you where the Lord wants you to be this morning? Are you where the Lord wants you to be? I can't answer that for you. Nobody around you can answer that. Only you know where the Lord wants you to be this morning. And if that is where the Lord wants you to be, then praise God for his mercy in your life. But friend, if it's not, then I beg you, before you leave this place, get back to him. Confess your waywardness. Confess whatever the problem has been and come back to the place of blessing. Let's pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee this morning for the privilege of sitting in the presence of our shepherd. We thank thee, Lord, for the one who gave his life for the sheep and for the one who guides his sheep. Give us a heart that's humble enough to ask, seek and follow the will of the shepherd. Lord, perhaps there's someone here this morning and their heart needs to be restored. Perhaps they're weary, perhaps they're hurt. Perhaps they're anxious, perhaps they're cold. Perhaps they've wandered far and this morning, Lord, you reveal to them just how far away they've been. Lord, whatever the need be this morning, we pray that thy Spirit will minister and restore the souls of thy children. Bless us, we pray. O Lord, lead this congregation. Help us to be humble enough to follow thee. Add on to this church such as should be saved. We think of this evening's service, Lord, preaching the gospel to the unsaved. Give a burden to thy people to get the unsaved out to hear it. O Lord, fill this place tonight with sinners who are ready to hear and receive the truth of God's word. Do a wonderful thing, we pray. Make this a hallowed and a blessed and a day of salvation. And we'll be careful to give thee all the praise and the honour and the glory. For thou alone art worthy of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.